invite you to, at this time, to return your Bibles. We're going to return back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. And this morning, we're going to focus on verses 9 through 13. Verses 9 through 13 of Matthew chapter 9. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 814. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 9, follow along with me as I read aloud. I want to remind you that this is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the reading of God's word, and may he bless it unto us. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage this morning. If you're someone who wants to jot down some notes, I'll do my best to help you with that. And let's study the word of God together. But before we do that, let's pause and let's ask God for his blessings in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would pierce our hearts today with your word and spirit. That you draw us closer to Christ. That you would rebuke us where we need correction. That you would instruct us where we are ignorant. We pray that you would cause us to examine ourselves and embrace this passage. We pray this in Jesus' name. And let us say together, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in his painting, The Raising of the Cross, the Dutch painter Rembrandt places himself at the feet of Jesus as he's being hoisted up and crucified. And experts in art say that one of the reasons why Rembrandt did that in this painting is because Rembrandt wanted people to see that he too was part of the story of Christ. It's a very fascinating painting. It's, you see all these what would appear to be biblical imagery, and right in the middle is this man with a painter's hat on. It looks very out of place, and it's Rembrandt's self-portrait. Rembrandt was so impacted, as the scholars suggest, that Rembrandt was so impacted by the Reformation, what was going on, as he thought about how the fact of that man is a wretched sinner who is in need of grace, Rembrandt was so moved by that that he decided he wanted to put himself in this painting. He wanted himself to be part of the story. And it's very interesting here in the Gospel of Matthew, if you were to turn to chapter 10, we see a list of Jesus' disciples, and it's as if Matthew wanted to insert his own story, his own account into his gospel. He wanted people to see that he too was part of the story of Jesus Christ. He wanted his own personal good news to be part of the good news that Jesus came for sinners. That Jesus calls sinners, he comes for sinners, he saves sinners. As we reflect on this own passage, we can also reflect on how we too are part of the story of Christ. Maybe not in the recorded for us in Scripture, but we too are sinners who are in need of a Savior. Jesus calls us as well, and has saved us. So this morning, I want to look at this passage with two very brief points this morning. Two points this morning for us to consider. Jesus' message and Jesus' mission. Jesus' message and Jesus' mission. And we see that in this passage. And my prayer is that as we reflect upon Jesus' mission, message and Jesus' mission, we will see that we too are like Rembrandt and like so many others who have come before us, and Lord willing, so many that will come after us, who will also be able to say, Christ Jesus is part of my story. Jesus Christ is part of my testimony. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And so let's look at this passage together. First, our first point is this, Jesus' message. Jesus' message, look at me in verse 9. And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Matthew was a tax collector. Now, with all due respect, Alice, not a lot of people are real fond of the IRS. You're probably aware of that, right? And we see that, we're not excited about having to give taxes and so forth. And yet, Matthew was a tax collector. He lived and worked in Capernaum. He lived in a place in which the trade routes would come through. And so it was a very key place for him to collect taxes. Now, you understand the tax collectors, they were crooked in those days. And I love what James Montgomery Boyce says in his commentary about tax collectors that I think is worth repeating. He said, James Montgomery Boyce says this. First of all, he says, you have to understand the tax collectors are politically unacceptable. What they would often do is that they would, that the tax collectors would take some for themselves. They were allowed to charge what they wanted to charge. And if they were hurting for some cash, for some money, they would maybe up the tax and then take that tax, make sure Rome gets what they need, but then he would keep some for himself. And in fact, some of the Gospels will even refer to Matthew as his Jewish name, Levi. Now think about that for a moment. We have someone who is born and raised in Israel, who's working for Rome, and taking their money. They were not really popular, even amongst their own people. They were working for the enemy. James Montgomery Boyce will go on and say, secondly, they were religiously unacceptable. Tax collectors were considered unclean. Tax collectors were not even allowed to worship in the synagogue. They were not even allowed to enter. In fact, they couldn't even testify in court because they were so untrustworthy. They were politically unacceptable, they were religiously unacceptable, and they were socially unacceptable. In those days, people were forbidden to go on a journey with them. They were forbidden to do business with them. They were forbidden to give them anything. They were forbidden to receive anything from tax collectors. They were forbidden to have them as guests. They were forbidden to be guests in their homes. The life of the tax collector was fairly lonely. Oh yeah, they had a lot of possessions. They were very rich, but they were very lonely. They were sinners in the people's eyes. And it's this lonely tax collector that here in their account that Jesus sees him sitting at his tax booth, and all Jesus utters is two words to him, follow me. And Matthew responds. Matthew, by the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart, responds to that call. Matthew's not now looking for Christ, but Christ finds him, calls him, says, follow me. And did you note, Matthew doesn't say a word in our passage. Not a word. He responds, he rises, and even one of the Gospels makes the statement, immediately he follows him. Matthew, it's a name that means a gift of God. And Matthew becomes quite a gift. It's Matthew, by the way, who will later on write in his gospel, many are called, few are chosen. And Matthew's able to look at his own account and say, I have been chosen by God. And here this tax collector, who, by the way, a tax collector, likely was a good record keeper, this tax collector would be one who would write a gospel. This tax collector, this former tax collector who is familiar with a variety of languages, likely because of working the trade routes, now can speak with a number of people about Christ in their own language. Matthew here is a demonstration of modesty and humility. When we think of the disciples, if you recall, you think of the disciples, you think of Peter's brashness, his boldness. You think of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and how they want to be at this place of honor. But Matthew here says nothing. He's a man of few spoken words, but one of great service. And this tax collector, as we see in verse 10, this tax collector becomes a missionary. He opens his house and he invites others similar to him, invites them to come to his own, likely to his own home, and invites Jesus and his disciples too. And that's one thing you'll notice in the book of Matthew. We've talked about it briefly, but Matthew very much is a missional book because it's going to end with a great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And Matthew lives that out here in this passage. And if Jesus can turn a tax collector into a follower, Jesus can call people to himself. And Jesus calls you and I to follow him. Not to complain about it, not to argue with it, but simply Jesus says, come follow me. And so how are we going to respond? Well, my prayer is that we want to follow him. And my prayer is that as we follow him, that's going to be demonstrated in many ways. That we're going to say, I want to follow you, and so therefore, I'm going to follow you, Lord, and that means I'm going to read my Bible regularly. I want to follow you, Lord, so that means I'm going to spend time in prayer. I want to follow you, Lord, and so that means I want to worship you regularly. Lord, I want to follow you, and that means that I need to pray for my neighbor, and I need to pray for unbelievers, and I need to invite them to come and join me for Easter. Lord, I want to follow you, and I want to grow. I want to grow closer to you. You see, following Jesus is not just this one time, okay, I'm going to follow you, and you're done. It's a daily following. Now, I don't want to infer too much from Scripture, but, the reality is maybe Matthew, there was a time where Matthew goes, maybe I'll just go back to tax collecting. Maybe I'll just go back to that old lifestyle. Jesus, come follow me. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, if Christ is calling you to follow him, we need to follow him. And that shows in many different ways. But to repent of our sins. To recognize that we're lost. We're an outcast just like Matthew was. And we need to follow Christ. Regularly, daily. Be challenged by his word. To be challenged in our prayer life. To be challenged as we reach out to others. Jesus' message was very simple, follow me. And that's not the first time that we have seen those words, follow me, in Matthew's gospel. It won't be the last time we see those words, follow me. Matthew is impacted by it firsthand basis. And he wants you and I to recognize that as well. And so come, follow Christ. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him. We're going to read those words. Jesus' message, follow me. Now let's just do our second point, Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission, we're going to find that in verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And we heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus' mission, save sinners. That's Jesus' mission. Don't you find it interesting? The Pharisees are offended. There's an old song that says, "You're invited, but your friends can't come." Well, here it is. The Pharisees are upset because they weren't invited. Because they figured they were the ones that should be invited. They're the law-abiding people. They're the ones who are much more righteous than those sinners. And so Jesus here, or these Pharisees are saying, look, if he's with them, that must mean he approves of their lifestyle. That must mean he approves of their extortion. It must mean they approve, you know, when he's hanging with, he's with prostitutes, he must approve of their adultery. He's with tax collectors, he approves of their theft. And so what do the Pharisees do? Well, they do what many of us do sometimes. They go around, they work their way around. Did you see that in this passage? Pharisees have a problem with Jesus. So who do they go to? They go to his disciples. They want to place some doubt in them. You're following this man? This person you're following? They want the disciples to start questioning their actions. He wants the disciples to start questioning Jesus' character. They want the disciples to start doubting. They may have even said something like this. You know, Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." And your so-called rabbi is with the worst. He's reclining with them at the table. That's just a way of the intimate fellowship. Around the table, around a meal. "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Verse 12, Jesus responds. He hears it and he responds. And this response that Jesus gives really gets at three things that that he wants the Pharisees to consider. And here they are. The first part of this statement, Jesus wants these Pharisees to understand or to realize they don't understand sin. The Pharisees thought they did. The Pharisees thought they understood it. They had their 632 laws, and they said, "Here are the following laws we need you to do. If you do this and don't do this, you will be good." And Jesus is saying, look, even with all your laws, all your man-made laws, and Jesus is going to address that again in the following verses, but with all your man-made laws, you don't understand sinfulness. Jesus says, it's not the healthy. Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. And we understand that. We understand that saying, don't we? Because some of us are feeling great today. And you wouldn't go to the doctor and spend that time filling all the paperwork and seeing a physician. And the physician says, okay, what's wrong with you? Oh, nothing. I just want to come see you. Jesus says, it's not the righteous. It's not the healthy who need the doctor. It's those who are sick. And Jesus is saying, look, it's not those who think that they're righteous who need Jesus Christ. It's those who recognize they're indeed sinners. And sometimes we can be very pharisaical. Sometimes we can look and say, you know what? I'm coming to the Lord's table because I am such a good believer. I'm coming to church because I want people to see how religious I am. I want to do this, I want to do that because I want people to notice me and notice my faith and notice how great of a person I am. Then we're no different than the Pharisees. And Jesus is saying that, look, he's saying to the Pharisees, you don't understand sin. It's sinners who need a Savior. It's sinners who need to follow Christ. It's sinners who are called to follow Him. And that's the message we talk about. As we want people to see that it's not, Jesus didn't come to save righteous people, He came to save sinners. That there are those who have some pretty heinous sins in their life. Maybe they struggle with pornography. Maybe they're struggling with lust. Maybe it's a sharp tongue. Maybe it's gossip. There are so many people out there who think that their sins are such that Jesus doesn't want them. And Jesus calls sinners. Billy Graham, when he was asked about, makes a reference about, related to this. He says, look, relates to Christianity to soap. I don't know if how many of you saw that. I don't have it in my notes, so I'm going to probably butcher the illustration a little bit. But the idea was saying that there's so much soap, and yet there's people who are still dirty. And in the same way, there are so many sinners. Even though even Christ has come and Christ has saved people, there are people who still struggle with sins, and we continue to follow Him daily. And Jesus is saying, look, they don't understand sin. The Pharisees don't understand sin. Secondly, you'll notice the second statement he makes, and one that maybe is easy to just simply read over, is Jesus in the statement is also saying, look, Pharisees, you don't understand the law. Oh, you're the law police, but you don't understand the law. And we find those in these words. And again, you've probably read right over them and didn't think anything of it. He says, go and learn what this means. Go study this. That's something a rabbi would say to his students. Go and study this. And Jesus says, go and learn what this means. And then he quotes from Hosea, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus says, you don't understand the law. You don't understand that all these outward ceremonies and all these rituals that you are trying to influence and trying to have people follow, that's not what people need to follow. They need to follow me. It's about mercy. It's about compassion. It's not about self-righteousness. It's about Jesus' righteousness. It's not about what I do, but it's about what Christ does and has done for us. Jesus says, you don't understand sin. You don't understand the law. He says, and finally he says, you don't understand the prophets. And again, it's not the last time we're going to see the law and prophets together. Jesus is going to summarize the law by saying, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbors, yourself. On these two things hang all the law and prophets. Jesus is basically telling these Pharisees, you do not understand what it means to follow me. You don't understand the prophets at all. Because the prophets say God desires mercy, not sacrifice. For he says at the very end, for I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners. And that's what the prophets talked about. He talked about how he would bind up the brokenhearted, how he would call the sheep who've gone astray, how he would pay for the sins of his wandering people. Jesus came to save sinners. And the Pharisees didn't understand this mission. The Pharisees didn't understand it at all. And so today, one of the things we want to reflect upon is how much do we understand the mission? It's hard to go if you're in a military, to go on a mission of some sort without knowing what the objectives of the mission is. And Jesus says, I want you to understand it. I want you to understand what my mission is. It's to call and to save sinners. To be with those that no one else would care about. To look at the outcast and the down and the downtrodden. To call them, to transform them, to change their hearts. And so we need to recognize that. And we're going, as we come to the Lord's table, that's one of the things we must remember. We don't come to the sacrament because we're righteous. We don't come to the sacrament because we're so great. We come to the sacrament because we're sinners and we recognize who Christ is. We recognize his message to follow him. We recognize his mission to go and reach out to others. And we recognize that because we too were once that way. That we were in conflict with God. It's not until we've experienced God's grace and God's power that we recognize that God calls and saves sinners. And Matthew recognized it. And Matthew recognized he was part of that account. He was part of that story. And this morning, as we turn our attention to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we recognize we too are part of that story. And that should impact us in great ways. It should fill us with praise. It should fill us with worship. It should fill us with a sense of thanksgiving. It should fill us with a desire to see others know the good news of Christ Jesus. That we too are part of the story. And today, if we are here today and we hear that call, let us respond and follow. Let us respond and recognize the mission that Christ had. And recognize that we too are part of the story of Christ. May the Lord write these words upon our hearts. May this be the meditation today and the days to come. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that we would heed your call. The gospel goes out to many people, but Lord, it is through your word and spirit that they respond to it. And Lord, today may we respond to this call and may we believe, may we trust, may we repent of our sins and turn to Christ. May that be our message. May that be our mission. Lord, that we would follow Christ and to recognize that he calls sinners. Lord, if we've experienced that grace, may we respond with joy today. Hear us, we pray, for it is in Jesus' name we ask, and let us say, Amen.